The second item of business is my regular report to the council summarizing my engagements and ongoing outreach activities on behalf of the branch since our last meeting. These engagements tell stories from two capitals, our nations and our states, of new relationships and long-established ones, our new partners and our long-standing partners, especially in government and civics education, among others. This reporting period began the day after our last council meeting with my annual visit in Sacramento to Ms. Jody Cooperman's class at Sutter Middle School, the home of the miners. I've been doing these civics visits since I was a trial court judge in Sacramento, so approximately 25 years maybe, maybe not that long. These visits, along with my experiences with my own children, have cemented my commitment to civics education. I was joined on this visit, as I always am, by the Chief United States District Judge Morrison England Jr. He and I do a tag team civics education on the judicial branches of the state and federal governments. And he brings a federal perspective to our discussions. It included the Bill of Rights, among other topics, with the students. Civic engagement helps develop those students' skills and awareness of the world around them, and also, we found, increases their chances of graduating. Kids like these all have the potential to be our future court, state, and municipal leaders. And perhaps one day, some of them may even sit around this boardroom table. I continued my ongoing outreach activities to justice system partners and stakeholders when I went to Los Angeles. I attended the Los Angeles County Bar Association's board meeting in February. Needless to say, court funding was a key topic of interest for them, as well as their questions about the impact of Prop 47. It was also an opportunity to thank the Los Angeles County Bar Association and the members of the Open Courts Coalition for their ongoing advocacy and their efforts on behalf of new investment in the judicial branch. When the Supreme Court of California, quote, rode the circuit, end quote, for oral arguments this month in Los Angeles, Frank and I attended the Los Angeles County Bar Association Appellate Court section. The luncheon speaker there was Professor Lori Levinson from Loyola Law School. She talked about the Innocence Project. She talked about misconduct. She talked about changes and need to re-engineer some of our models for dealing with Brady. Partnership was also the theme for a series of meetings with legislators, associations, and judges. I had informal meetings with Martin and Corey Jasperson with Assemblymember Mark Stone. As you know, he's chair of the Assembly Judiciary Committee, and Assemblymember Mike Gibson, chair of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. Senator Hannah Beth Jackson and the Legislative Women's Caucus invited me to attend their monthly series of Bread Breaking with Women Leaders Dinner. I thank Judge Jim Herman for helping to arrange that invitation. It was a great opportunity to have dinner with them, share my experiences, hear their experiences, and hear really how these women legislators strive to make a positive impact in California. We had one of our regular liaison meetings with the California Association of Counties, CSAC, and the internal chairs and I met with members of the executive board of the California Judges Association, their president and council member, Judge Weber, Judge Kathleen Kelly, Judge Michael Grosch, and Judge Robert Glusman, the former PJ chair who has served on this council. The Judicial Council and the California Judges Association have an 86-year working relationship that continues to support the judiciary and the need for equal access to justice for all Californians. I welcome the 63 members of the Commission on the Future of California's Court System to their first public meeting and their breakout planning sessions. Ably led by their chair, Supreme Court Justice Carol Corrigan, and vice chair, First District Court of Appeal Administrative Presiding Justice Bill McGinnis, the commission will help ensure that the judicial branch is doing all that it can to make California's court system as accessible and efficient as possible. The commission represents a broad spectrum of key stakeholders: justices and judges, court administrators, attorneys, sheriffs, district attorneys, public defenders, chief probation officers, as well as Department of Finance Director Michael Cohen. And they've created subcommittees within the Futures Commission to focus on key areas: civil, criminal traffic, family juvenile, and fiscal court administration. They've already received a lot of input based on surveys and comments from interested parties and the public. I believe the Futures Commission is another logical step in our process of improvement, self-assessment, and transparency. That same day, I also welcomed nearly 40 judges to the Supervising Judges Institute. Judges new to the supervisory role as courthouse site supervisors or bench assignment supervisors. Justices Miller and Hull and Judge Rubin also took the opportunity to engage in a dialogue with these new supervising judges during the Institute. Dr. Yvonne Stedham from the University of Nevada, she also teaches at the National Judicial College. She engaged these judges in their new roles and management and leadership, and she has a message on her website, and it reads, quote, "Community is created through communication, commitment, and involvement," end quote. I commend all of us on creating a strong Judicial Council community over the years. I was pleased to attend an event at the by the Association of Defense Counsel in Sacramento. There I spoke to an audience that included young lawyers, federal and state judges, and defense counsel. You know, it's said that it's better to give than to receive, but I had the good fortune to do both in the last 2 months. I received the American Bar Association's Business Law Section Women's Business Advocate Award relating to the advancement of women in the legal profession, and I presented California Lawyer Magazine's Attorney of the Year Awards, the Clay Awards. The Clay Awards honored 62 attorneys in 17 areas of legal practice, and the recipients included attorneys in solo practice, nonprofits, and international firms. And interestingly, 5 of the cases recognized involved pro bono work. At the ABA event, I had the opportunity to again share the importance of civics education and civic engagement, and our work with Justice Judy McConnell and the Power of Democracy Committee, and the Civic Learning Awards, and the importance of actively engaging people in their history and democracy, and explaining the work, the good work of the judicial branch. As you know, many years ago, in 2001, the State of California Task Force on Court Facilities issued its final report. The activities and legislation that came out of that report brought us the Judicial Council Capital Construction Program. And on March 19th, 2015, some 14 years later, after much legislation, the first new construction project ever funded under Senate Bill 1407 reached completion. It had its dedication in the North Butte Courthouse in Chico. I've said before that judicial administration is a team triathlon, but we did get there. Nearly 500 members of the local Chico and Butte community joined Presiding Judge Kristen Lucena, Commissioner and council member here, David Gunn, and the court in this celebration for their new courthouse. I was pleased to see so many other judges from different counties come to attend the celebration and dedication and opening of this new courthouse. This courthouse was 7 years in the making. It's a great example of collaboration involving the Judicial Council, our able staff, the court, the county, and the city. North Butte now has a secure, seismically safe, accessible, and efficient courthouse for their growing population. In my tale of two cities, let me first begin in Washington, D.C., where I attended the reception at the Supreme Court of the United States, hosted by the Legal Services Corporation. This was addressed by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The issues of civil legal aid for low-income Americans and equal access to justice was a key topic of conversation. It also coincided with ABA Law Day on Congress on Capitol Hill. The next day, the same themes were discussed at a White House forum on increasing access to justice. I participated on a judiciary panel that included the chief justices from Texas, Florida, Tennessee, New York, and Kentucky, and federal appeals judges from the district court and courts of appeal. There were also, interestingly, business leaders and technology panels, all addressing an audience made up of law firms, law schools, the judiciary, the American Bar Association, and private corporations and foundations. As you know, in California, we're challenged by our poverty rate. It, based on our population, is likely the largest in the country. And the impacts of the global financial crisis on our courts and the public and the need for pro bono and free legal aid. But we do have our Judicial Council Advisory Committee on Providing Access and Fairness. It's co-chaired by Justices Kathleen O'Leary and Lori Zelon. We have our self-help initiatives that we strive to keep up, ongoing despite the crisis in our funding. These are the self-help centers, bench guides, our language access plan. We have a number of successful civil partnerships for pro bono, low bono, modest means legal aid, including the Sargent Shriver Civil Counsel Program and our own Legal Services Summit. And the state bar has supported the California Access to Justice Commission since 1997. As you know, the California Access to Justice Commission is not only supported by the state bar, but has diverse membership, including the Church Council of Churches, business, labor. The governor's office makes appointments, as well as we, as the judiciary, the legislature as well. My second city is, of course, Sacramento, where I had the great pleasure of accepting an invitation from Assembly Speaker Atkins and Senate President Pro Tem De Leon to deliver the State of the Judiciary to a joint session of the legislature. I thank all of you for attending that. It was great support, and for the day of visits with legislators, that entire day before the SOJ was delivered at 4. One of the themes I emphasized was the interdependence of our three branches of government, and how over the years we've come to a better understanding through questioning, information sharing, and collaboration. This has resulted in action by them on funding and action by us on accountability and efficiencies. I was pleased to be able to discuss the state of the judiciary in person with the governor when he joined us at the reception at the 3rd District Court of Appeal after the state of the judiciary. I hope to continue that spirit of an open dialogue, to continue the advocacy and creating understanding about our courts, and to continue the new investment in our branch. That concludes my report to the council, but before we move on to the next agenda item, I want to comment on an issue that's not directly related to anything I've said today, but has been in the papers, generated much discussion, and that is the issue of traffic fines, fees, and penalties. Before I left for D.C., I heard about the discussions among the presiding judges and court executives about traffic fine issues. And it struck a nerve with me, as I've cautioned about a pay-to-play justice system in the past and about the broad impacts of the fiscal crisis on self-represented litigants in our state. It's a very complicated issue. There are many stakeholders involved in our traffic fines issues and our penalties and fee issues, but it is an access to justice issue as well as a fiscal issue, as these same fines and fees fund, as you know, many state programs, and these fines and fees are not just existing solely for the judiciary. So in the same spirit of collaboration I mentioned earlier, I believe we can work with the administration and the legislature to address the fiscal and legal access issues resulting from fines and fees. The governor's recent budgets have included measures, as you know, to mitigate our funding reliance on what we know are declining fees and fine revenues. Justice Corrigan and the Futures Commission and other branch leaders have heard and voiced concern about this issue. There may be legal and structural challenges, but I believe there is a collective will to collaborate on an efficient, effective, and fair solution to these fines, fees, and funding. So you'll be hearing more about that in the future.